providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in, time for the second hour of KER Politics. You know, I got to tell you, talking with Jim McKinney right now, Jimmy, I got to tell you, Dan is one of the most sensible guys who I know when it comes to political issues. You're right in that same category also. Both of you have a view on the basic COVID medications, COVID insurances, whatever you want to call them, that make all the sense in the world to me. I think we've talked COVID into the ground. We've talked immunization into the ground. Tell you what I'd like to talk about right now. Let's do a bit of a recap on the week, and I'm going to let you start any place you want, okay?
Yeah, sure. This has been an incredibly challenging week for the current regime in power in the United States. They have attempted to shift the focus away from a very just unfortunate and disastrous evacuation of Afghanistan, where they basically just left, ran away, leaving American citizens after promising to get American citizens out, leaving American citizens on the ground with the Taliban, and basically went away with our tail between the legs. That was the beginning of the week, as you know, we closed out. The Biden administration and the Biden-Harris team, their poll numbers are dropping with Democrats as well. And then you've got this push for mandatory vaccines. You've got economic stress. You've got bad job numbers from last week, incredible rise in inflation, the largest jump in inflation that we've ever seen. These are all leading to some very interesting questions and a lot of concerns by American citizens out there of what the heck is happening. And again, as Dan had mentioned in the previous part of the show, you wonder about lawlessness and how far this administration is willing to go, how far they're willing to push against legislation, against individual privacy and rights. And it's been a very dramatic week and a lot of intense reactions out there, and I think a lot of fear from the American people as well as the international community that really can't trust America to stand up under this administration, under this regime, if you will.
You know, I got to tell you, man, there's no question about that whatsoever. It's just amazing to me. I would like to elaborate a little bit personally on Afghanistan. I find it to be interesting that Angela Merkel and other European leaders have criticized the method that the United States used for simply pulling stakes up in there. I kind of am a little bit confused on that one. How do you feel?
So I think the NATO partners that have been in Afghanistan with the United States since the 9/11 attacks, and this is important, something that we need to talk about as well, as you know, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of the attacks on the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and Flight 93 crashing in Pennsylvania. Our allies, our NATO allies, have been fighting with us throughout. And the reality with NATO is NATO depends on U.S. logistics capability for movement of troops, for equipment, and really for policy, for direction and policy. And what the Biden regime accomplished over the last few months was to completely alienate our key allies in NATO and then left them stranded in a rapid pullout as the Taliban advanced and the Americans did nothing to stop it. And the reality here is becoming clear. NATO is incapable of operating without U.S. military support and forces. They could not bring to bear any pressure on the Taliban without U.S. air power and U.S. logistics. And of course, that made it very difficult for them to evacuate their own citizens. They're German citizens. There are British citizens. There are Canadian citizens. There's Italian citizens. There's Italian, there's people all over Afghanistan that were left behind because of the U.S. rapid pullout and their failure to understand, you know, what the ramifications for very poor planning, if not, and this is what bothers me more than anything else, It is so disastrous. It was so done so poorly that it almost looks like that they had to be actively planning to do it this way in order to allow the Taliban to move forward. And that bothers me very much right now. So, yes, our NATO allies are very concerned, as they should be, as should the world, with stability and Western civilization and how we will manage with a growing China power and complete lawlessness throughout the region in Central Asia right now, with a terrorist regime, basically, that we not only emboldened, but armed and allowed complete takeover of a country we spent 20 years and $2 trillion in supporting. So, yeah, it's disastrous. It's disastrous. Our allies are very concerned.
Yeah, I agree 100%. One thing I want to get into in the next segment that we're going to do, I want to talk a little bit about what the Republicans plan to do in the next election. And the fact that you were given the honorary title of most active Republican in the county, in the Republican Party, I'd like you to talk about that a little bit. But I got to tell you, Jim, I am not a psychologist, but I have a very good read of my fellow human beings. And I would like to know, I don't understand at all why the Democrats, I mean, I have nothing against the Democratic Party of previous years. And I want to stress, of previous years, but the Democratic Party in office right now, in my opinion, is simply not the party to get the job done for America. Why in God's name, Jimmy, are they doing what they're doing, in your opinion?
My opinion is, and this is, you know, my view and analysis, that the Democratic Party has had a civil war going on for a while now between the extremists, the leftist progressives, the AOCs, actually Nancy Pelosi is one of them too, but she, you know, shields herself in more a moderate role today. But the Maxine Waters and the Nancy Pelosi's are pretty, they've always been extreme. They now have control. They believe that since they have control, they should push it as far as they can for the political purposes. And what's driving motivation on the left is the very loud, vocal, small minority of extremist Marxist ideologues. They're pushing the agenda on the Democratic Party, and the moderates are sitting back going, I'm not sure what to do, but I don't want to lose my position within the power, because they follow each other blindly. And the other thing that supports them is a corporate media right now that is very much in bed with the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, I think it all boils down to money. We've talked about this before. Globalism is, in theory, is a really good thing. It's hurting the United States right now economically, however. And I think it's hurting the United States from a security standpoint right now. But I have to say, I'm a pretty, you know, pretty much of a card-carrying, non-secular individual. And I think it's really, really interesting how people who are globalists are probably using that to an extreme against our country. You simply cannot do that, in my humble opinion. And my opinion ain't so humble, you guys. My opinion is pretty important because I'm pretty well informed. There's no question about that. You know, it's amazing to me how people with absolutely no credentials when it comes to government administration, etc., can get into the high offices that they have gotten into. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have term limits. I'm talking about individuals who are simply not qualified to hold the offices they hold. Be right back.